Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmir Salashon class learning. The date is, it's Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so it is the final day of Adar. We are learning Le'iloi Nishmas and Le'zecher Nishmas, Tzvi Gershon Ben Yoel V'chana Alav Hashem, Meiz Neshama HaVenali, in the merit of our Torah. This is our final class before Amzman, they were saying the time of our freedom and the Yom Tov of Pesach. We will meet again Be'ezrat Hashem the Monday after Yom Tov. So, Ribono Sha'olam, Yiratzam V'fanecha, Al-Rachum V'chanan, Shetizakeni Hayam, U'v'chol Yom Nishmar, Pi Lashoni, Milashon Hara, U'v'chilus. Azar Milidaber Afilu Al Ishiachid, Vakal Shakane Al Kaliso, O Al Chelek Mehem, Vakal Shakane Milisraim Al Midos of Shal Kal Shbarhu, Azar Milidaber Divre Sheker, Hanufa, Machlokas, Kaas, Gaiva, Onas, Tavara, Habanas Panim, Late Sanus, Vakal Dibur Asur, Vizakini, Shalad the Daber, Kim Dabar Hatzarik, Linani Gufi, Vinafshi, Viu Kamas, Iva Diburai, the Shem Shamayim, Amin. So we are going to go to the Sefer today. Last time we had a very interesting class on the Me'il, and we didn't go into the Sefer, but it was totally relevant to Shmir Salashon, the lessons learned out from the Me'iyah. But I want to just start with one very brief Pesach, short insight and story, given that we are up to Rosh Chodesh Nisan and the final weeks before Pesach. So Pesach, it is called many things, Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaAviv, we know, it must be in the spring. Also, Chag HaPesach. So one thing about Pesach is the word can be divided. It means skipped over because Hashem, Pasach, he passed over the houses. When he smote the Egyptians, he passed over the Jewish homes where they had done Korban Pesach, the blood on the lintels and the doorposts. Pesach is also Pesach, open your mouth. I was thinking it's so interesting, even though it's a Samech for Pesach, how do you say to go in or to open something? Pasach, Pesach, the Pesach Habayis, the opening of the house, Pesach. So if you switch the letters that sound the exact same, you open your mouth. And that is the whole key to the Yom Tov of Pesach, Pesach. I first saw this brought down by Rav Freifeld Zatzal many years ago, that Pesach is Pesach, to open your mouth, to sing praise to Hashem. We spoke yesterday in the Shir about Halal, to tell your children, V'higadata, the whole Haggadah is using your mouth to speak about the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and to tell the next generation. So it's really a Yom Tov where our mouth is so involved. It's so interesting, even the Chiyuvim, to eat matzah, use your mouth for the mitzvah, to drink wine, use your mouth for the mitzvah, the mara, the charosis. So much focus on the mouth, Pesach, open your mouth. One of the things that we tell our children is, one of the things that we focus on is that in every generation they arise to destroy us, and yet here we still are. And it's truly one of the miracles. Mamash Nesa Malam in a Teva. A Knesset Yisrael is still here, and it is something that we have to pass on to our children. It's painful sometimes, it's bewildering sometimes, as it is to be part of the Knesset Yisrael. It is the most amazing, uplifting, unbelievable journey to be part of a nation who has persevered and survived. And that's really what B'chol Dor V'Dor Amrei Malinu L'Chal Aseinu. What is the V'hi? It's very famous. The Vav is Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. The He is Chamisha Chum Sheitar. What? The classic question of the commentators is, what has stood for our forefathers and us that has ensured our survival? V'hi Sha'am, that is this that has stood. What is this? Vav is Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. He is Chamisha Chum Sheitorah. Yod is the Aser Sedibus. And the Aleph is the Nochi of Hashem. So when we are completely dedicated to Torah, Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, Torah Shabbat Peh, that represents Torah Shabbat Peh. Hey, it's Chamisha Chumshay Torah, Torah Shabbatav. Yud is the Aseret Sedibos. Rav Sa'adja Gaon explains that all mitzvos that arise in Derabanan emanate from the Aseret Sedibos. Those are the roots, and then the branches are the other mitzvos. And finally, the Anochi of Hashem Elokecha. So when we are committed to Torah Shabbat Peh, Torah Shabbatav, the root of all the Aseret Sedibos, and a Kosh Baruch Hu, we are of Dei Hashem, that has stood for our forefathers and us. It's our commitment to Torah mitzvos. So related to this vihi, I mean, understand? Related to this vihi, and b'chol dor v'dor amdei malali v'chalaseinu, and Pesach, v'higadata l'bincha, open your mouth to tell your children on this day all the miracles. Included all the miracles is we can't forget to tell about our survival. You understand? We talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, we talk about the Makos, talk about Kriyas Yamsuf, Dayenu, everything Kosh Baruch Hu did for us. Achas kam v'chama malus tovus l'mako malenu, how much he did. But don't forget to tell them the key, and that is, we're still here. So related to this, I want to share one story related to all these ideas. So I want to share one story brought down by Rav Pesach Kron, and then we will go to the Sefer. Right. He calls the story Faces of Fire. For 10 years, Rabbi Yonason Shippel is the rabbi of the base, which is a Kiruv show on Upper Manhattan. Yes, I'm on the right page. Went to New Square, New York, with his two sons to bake matzos on Erev Pesach with Rav David Twersky, the square rabbi, and some of his chassidim. The rabbi pours the mayim shalanu, the water. Okay. Over the years, different people are assigned to different jobs, but there's one job, that of the shibber. Does anyone know the word? S-H-I-B-B-E-R, I assume it's Yiddish, one of the shibber. It is he who takes the matzos out of the oven and rules if they're kosher for consumption. So even though different people's jobs change over the year, the square rebbe pours the mayim shalanu, and the shibber is one person, Reb Shaya Ungar. He lived from 1925 to 2015. The revered Gabbai of two square rebbes. And he refused to give up the job, even when he aged. And he became too weak to, you know the story? And he became too weak to lift up the matzos, even though someone else had lifted up. He was given the final job of inspecting the matzos. Was it baked properly? Was it kosher for Pesach? It was up to him to rule on the kashrus if they were matzos with folds, kefulos, folded over, or nefuchos, matzos that swelled and bubbled. If they were soft, not thoroughly baked, he ruled them invalid. His decision was ironclad. Rav Shaya would stand, Zichron of the Vrecha, Rav Shaya Ungar, would stand for hours near the hot oven. Like a soldier, he would do his job with love and commitment. Year after year, he was there. His face was red. It was intense heat. He checked every single matzo. So finally, when Rav Shippel, this man who went to bake matzos there, said, Rav Shaya, you've done your job for so many years. Perhaps it's time to let someone from the younger generation take over. So Rav Shaya said, I can't. I can't leave this post. So Rav Shippel said, why not? So he says, Ranai, remember when you were traveling in Ukraine? Remember the story that I told you? During the days of Sfira in the spring of 2004, so about 11 years before this Rav Shaya passed away, they took a trip. They were going to the Chernobyl Maggots Cave, Rav Mordechai Tversky, Rav Moshe Tversky's great-great-grandfather. Right. They were taking a trip to the Makomis Kedoshim, the cave of the Baal Shem Tov, Rav Levi Yitzchak Abraditchev. It was late one night, and Rav Shippel said to Rav Shaya, tell me about your past. I know you went through the war. So this Rav Shaya Ungar, who wouldn't give up the job of shibber, checking the matzos, sighed and began, I had a terrible job in Auschwitz. We're talking about B'cholder V'dor Amdi Malinu V'chaloseinu, V'akash Baruch Matzu Mini Adam. And open your mouth, Pesach, to relay all this. With a heavy heart, he recalled those days of torment and anguish. This is what Rav Shaya said. I had a terrible job in Auschwitz. You know, the things that we read or that we speak about, I'm reading a book now about Irina Sendler, who rescued over 2,000 Jewish children from the Warsaw Ghetto. And the things that we read, for us and our generation, I'm not talking about our parents, I'm not talking about my grandparents. I mean, these people at this time, It's impossible, not difficult. It's impossible to fathom what it really means when we say B'chol Dor V'Dor Amdi Malinu V'Chaloseinu. We talk about it, we know about it, we're not so far removed from it. Everybody of our generation knows someone still who went through the previous Shiva Mitzrayim, which was the Churban Europa, but it's impossible. After people were gassed, said Rav Shai, they were placed on a long flatbed wagon. As many as 60 or 70 bodies at a time were stacked close to each other. I had to go along with those bodies, sometimes in freezing nights, and place them in the crematoria where they were burned. I feel guilty about it to this day, said Rav Shaya, but had I not done it, I would have been killed on the spot. And therefore, standing near the hot oven, Rav Shaya said, I don't see matzos coming out of the ovens. I see faces. Every matzah to me is another yid. This is my tikkun, my repair for the past. I put yidin into the fire, and now I see them coming out of the fire. I will stay at this job as long as is humanly possible. Rav Shippel could not speak. His mouth was parched dry from the heat and from the raw intensity of Rav Shaya's heart. You would never forget those words or that image. So as we move into the Yom Tov of Zman Chiroseinu, into the time of our freedom, truly, in the Zman Gulaseinu, in the time of our redemption, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us for Him as a people, we have to remember what the enemy is, what they want, but we do have to remember that it's the dedication to baking matzos, it's the vihi, it's the dedication to Shas, Torah Shabbal Peh, accepting the Aseres HaDibros and knowing that there is only the Anochi of Hashem. That's who we are answerable to, that has sustained us in each and every generation. So Be'ezus Hashem, we should be so dedicated. Abiyas Goel Tzedek. Any questions or comments? Heavy stuff, right? Okay, please open up the sefer. Okay? So we're really on page 52. That's where my bookmark is. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But since we last class, we spoke about the Me'il. So I thought that we would just go back to one sentence. So on page 50, I'm not going to add on the ha'aros of what I brought last time, the same stories. It's not necessary, but just so we know what the Mechaber is talking about. What is the Chavetz Chaim talking about? Where are we up to since we did not do the Sefer? We've not done the Sefer inside for a month, actually. Okay, okay, so let's go to Kama Tza'ar, about 6 lines up. So he says, in the next world, when you're learning from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Beis Din Shamala, Kama Tzar Uchlima Yispa, how much pain and shame will you endure? Kishi Yiskur Shayadash Kal Eila Tachas Rachav Ba'oda Ba'ozeh Ha'olam. When you think to yourself that I trampled upon these mitzvos with my heel when I was in this world, V'lo Hismar Mer Me'olam Adzeh, and he never had the regret about it, Mars, from bitter. It was never bitter for you when you were in this world. V'eich Yuchalisas Panavim Pnei Habusha. We're going to be so embarrassed in the Olam Hazeh. You know, we contemplate, you know, isn't it true? Man doesn't want to be embarrassed in this world. It's absolutely true. But we don't think about the embarrassment in the next world, which is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to his Talmidim on his death. But they said, Rabbeinu Barchenu, give us a bracha. So what did he say to him? Shetei mor shamayim aleichem kamar basar v'dam. You should be fear God like you fear people. They said, Arkan? That's the whole bracha you're giving us from your deathbed. He said, Ulevai, halavai, you should know a man commits a sin, he says. This is what the Gemara says. I hope a person doesn't see me. So I want to tell you something, and I didn't say this last time. A shaila came up recently that I realized for some reason it never occurred to me, and I realized I probably should have asked it a long time ago, and I was embarrassed to ask because I thought, like, what's a rabbi going to say? You know, like, why is she asking me the shaila now? I was really embarrassed what to ask, and it took me a few days, and I knew I needed to ask the shaila. It took me a few days to come to a point where, like, I could ask it because I thought to myself, it gives such a bad impression of me. So finally I texted my husband. I said, call the rabbi. I said to him in the text, better I should be embarrassed in this world than I should be embarrassed in the next world. And when I came to that point, I wasn't embarrassed to ask the shaila. So what if they think I'm embarrassed? What am I going to say to Ribbono Shel Olam? And when he says to me, okay, so for whatever reason, you never realized you need to ask the shaila. Okay, fine. So that maybe Hashem will say, I could excuse you because you didn't realize. But once you realize and you're not asking the shaila, why are you asking? Because you're embarrassed for the rabbi? So were you embarrassed in front of me? No, but when I came to that point, I was embarrassed. I texted my husband. I said, better I should be embarrassed here. And I should be embarrassed. And that's exactly what the Chafetz Chaim says. Eich yucha lisas panav v'pnei busha. What are we going to say to Ribbono Shel Olam? I was embarrassed in front of men, so I whispered the Lashon Hara, so that when the other person didn't mean, I stopped talking. Why? So that they shouldn't know what I'm saying. That's common human behavior. But Hashem's at your table. So you stopped the conversation when so-and-so came in. But you're not contemplating who you're in front of. There's going to be no nechama for your nefesh at that time. Nothing anyone says or does. There's not going to be any comfort. When you remember always the terrible travesty that you committed. And therefore, while you're still in this world, at Mayav Esrim Shana, this is the time to pay attention. You have to accept upon yourself the duty to guard your mouth. When you accept upon yourself to guard your mouth, it will be good for you in this world, it will be good for you in the next world. Comments? A person needs bina, very, very beautiful. One of the things that the Torah tells us, Paraklamet Aleph Pasuk Gimel and Sefer Shmos 31:3, and the Torah says that Betzalel is appointed. Betzalel is the grandson, the great grandson of Miriam. It comes from Hur. Betzalel ben Uri ben Hur, Lamante Yehuda. Hur was the son of Miriam. When it tells us that Betzalel was appointed to do the Mishkan as the master craftsman. So, Va'amaleo, so says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Hashem says, I filled him with 3 kinds of wisdom, Chachma, Tevuna, and Das. Chachma, so Rashi says, Sha'adam lo meid me'achirim. Someone teaches you something. So I always say, you go to school, you learn the periodic table of elements, and now I know the periodic table of elements. How do I know sodium, potassium, pump, NAK? Because someone taught it to me. If someone didn't teach me this, I wouldn't know it. What is Tevuna, which is Bina, says Rashi, Mev What do we translate that as usually? Intuition. You learn something, and now you can make inferences. You can have intuition. What's the word? You would intuit? I don't think that's a word. A person is...
Yeah.
Oh, it is a word? Okay. So intuition is... That's bina. And that's what the Chafetz Chaim says here. Lihit bonein. Use your bina to understand while you're in this world. Od sadat rich... Ish navon lehispone. You need a discerning individual who has bina. Bina is understanding from your heart based on what you learn. So you learn halacha of the Chavetz Chaim. What does it mean? You learn something practical. Then you know when to apply it using your Bina. And just finally, because we started with it, what is Das, says Rashi there, Shmos 31:3, Lamed Aleph Gimel. What does Rashi say? Das is Rucha Kodesh. What's so interesting about these three measures of wisdom, Chachma, Bina, and Das, is we daven for them every day. It's one essay. And if we daven Shachs Mincha Marav, we're actually davening three times a day to be allowed to have a heart that can learn from others. That's one level of wisdom. We're coming up to the Pesach Seder, the Tam, and the Shreinu De Elisha. So it's a one mandrega to just be able to learn from somebody else. It's a certain level. You need humility, you need wisdom, you need siyata d'shmaya, but then there's bina, and that's the level where you take what you learn, then you make inferences, and Chavetz Chaim says that's what you need. Shemes halashon, it's not enough to just learn. You have to have the intuition to apply what you learn in every day of it. Isn't that true? Yes, it's not enough to just sit here and say, oh, it sounds so nice on paper, now I need intuition. And finally, we dive in for das, and das is ruach hakodesh. What does that mean to us? Siyata d'shmaya. You're not going around prophesizing, but we need to have siyata d'shmaya. Yes.
You have to do your shtalos. You have to kind of give it over to people. Isn't it?
You always have to do your shtalos.
No, but you have to give it over to people. Like, only people want to accept it, I find. Like, if you learn and you want to share it, is that what
that is? L'amadu l'lami. That's what we say in Brukos Kriya Shema. L'amadu l'lami l'shma v'lasos. We do want to try and give it over. So what are you saying? That sometimes it's hard to
do. So, but that is only if people want to accept it. Like some people.
You have to do that with Bina, though. You have to know what to say.
You have to, you know, because I'm going to tell you something very interesting. So I have a WhatsApp group, my Uman group, which is very spiritual. And when I get really wonderful things, I sometimes send it over to my WhatsApp people. It's easier. Somebody just said to me, quote, what are you becoming very religious? What are you sending over all these things? I said, excuse me, it's first of all, I was always spiritual. And if you read and you realize the videos that I send, or the thing, now you are one of the people that get the things, so you know what I'm talking about. They're beautiful things. Some of the things are
so why does someone even say that?
Okay, so thank
why
you.
Why does someone
thank
even
you.
Say
so
that?
I said, I was always
why
spiritual.
Why does someone
why
even
somebody says it? You have to have the Bina.
That what, Lisa?
It's like with Bina. Like, certain people can take it, and certain people, when they read it after a while, they feel bad about themselves. They can't be on that level. They can't.
So why do they have to say that to me?
Because, you know what? It's very, as human beings, we try to push, when we have something that we don't feel good about, we push somebody else down.
Remember we spoke about this?
That's
exactly right.
That's
exactly right.
And then when somebody gives you a thing like that, they're doing it on purpose because you're getting higher and you're feeling good about yourself, but they're not, so they're trying to put you on a level down because
I'm going to repeat a story that I told
you. I wanted to tell you.
You know what?
Said.
I don't talk. I used to talk a lot more. I used to talk to people and tell people what to do. You know what? My new thing is that I play out the whole conversation in my brain. And I say, I realize it takes me a long time to talk to people. Go, hello, are you there? And I'm like, no. And I think about what I'm going to say. And then I ask myself a question, is it going to help them? Is it not going to? Are they going to think something? Even my own kids at this point, is it going to help them? Like, are they going to listen to me like that? Am I wasting my words? Yeah.
So, but you know what I mean?
And I just ate about myself.
Wait.
Because I'm not wasting my time, and I don't feel frustrated. Because, you know, actually, when you tell somebody, especially your children, you tell something, and then they don't do it, then you feel frustrated. Then you don't have anymore.
But then you do to your hishtalos, and then it's up to Hashem. So,
no,
Shane, do you finish? Wait, I want to read you something.
I'm very grown up, and once this person said, I said, well, you're one of my close friends, and I thought you would like me to share it. From now on, I'll select other people. And that was the end. Oh, no, I love the things you said. Okay, so
sometimes
I turned it around. I didn't let them put me down. Well, I'm learning a lot.
Very smart.
I sent out something yesterday, didn't send it to that person. Uh-huh. And you know what? They're going to chalish now, and they're going to next time see me. Why don't you send me those things
listen,
anymore?
I want to read you. Listen. So based on what your ladies were saying, I'm going to repeat saying this, that a while ago I happened to have the sefer here. This distinction is evocative of a story related about Rav Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Musar movement, who is devoted to personal introspection and improvement. So he himself is devoted to building himself up. Sometimes what happens is when a person builds himself up, other people who for whatever reason aren't striving or haven't reached a certain level become very negative. The rabbi, Rav Yisrael Salanter, came upon two children quarreling. The subject of the dispute was which of the two is taller. As we know, children will very often argue about nothing. Which of the two was taller? In a final act of desperation, one child pushed the other to the ground. He stood over him and he proclaimed, there, now I'm taller. Rav Yisrael helped the defeated child to his feet and he said to the aggressor, there is no need to push him to the ground to prove you're taller. All you had to do is stand on a box. Now, there's two ways of making yourself taller than somebody else. The first way is to push somebody else down, and all of a sudden you're so religious. And the second way is to lift your own self up. And unfortunately, human nature is that sometimes we can't do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, that was exactly
important. Important for us all to remember. So you need a person, we explain the three types of wisdom according to Rashi and Sefer Shmos. Chachma, learn from others. Bina, intuition. Das is Ruach HaKodesh. Chavetz Chaim says it's not enough to have Chachma in regard to Shmir Salashon, which is the wisdom to learn, but you have to have Bina to apply what you learn. And that's what Lisa just said. She thinks to herself, will it help, won't it help? Apply what you learn. Sheesh kama halachos chamuras b'Torah. There are a number of strict halachas in the Torah, she removes beiza pasuk or beiza teva. They allude in a certain pasuk or in a certain letter to shmir salashim. V'ilu binyan kolach adibur, in regard to kolach adibur, the kolach of speech. Shelo yekalka adam l'shono beiza dibur aser. A man should not bring curse, ruin upon his tongue with certain forbidden matters. Shana hakasuv v'shilesh kama parashios b'am. The Torah reviews and it goes over a number of times. It's not warned once, the Chavetz Chaim is saying. And by the way, previously, a few months ago, I think, we went over the Torah sources according to the book. So it's repeated over and over. Miza anu yucholim lehisponin. Look again, the word bina. It's at the top of the page, it's at the beginning of this paragraph twice, and it's here again. So look how important it is to apply your intuition properly to kol chadibur. Miza anu yucholim lehisponin. From this we can learn the great obligation to guard our tongue that we have regarding this matter. So I wanted to share the reason I have this book again, which is Rabbi Daniel Feldman, who's one of the Wadi Rosh Yeshivos Shlita, is because I wanted to share something different. And not accept that it was Bashir that I had it, because it was exactly relevant. So we're talking about Chovas HaShmira. So the example that Shandy brought up, all of a sudden you're becoming so religious, or someone told me this, another thing, someone I'm close to told me, she goes to a certain place, and there's a certain, I'm giving no details whatsoever, there's a certain person there who looks a certain way. Okay? And she said two times, recently, two other people have said to this person, is everyone with me? Mm-hmm. Sarah goes to a certain place. Rivka looks a certain way. Two people recently have said to Sarah negative comments about Rivka's appearance. Why are they saying that? Do you understand? Why are you even saying that? Why are you talking about it? It wasn't for help. It wasn't matters of tznius. It was about physical appearance or a physical body. And they felt that they had to comment about something. And I said to Sarah, why would someone even say such a thing? It's unbelievable. These are comments, classical examples of, why you become so religious. Busha. Embarrassing somebody else. Habanas panim.
I'm saying that you were embarrassed.
A person could be embarrassed.
Right.
And these other examples, classic example of Lashon Hara. Why are you saying something negative? Even if it's true, even if that's the way she looked. Why are you saying? It's unbelievable. Those are examples of personal insult and injury. But Rabbi Feldman brings us another tremendous consequence of Dibur Asr. When I say Dibur Asr, it includes everything. Kas, Machlokas, Gaiva, Chanifa, etc. So Rabbi Feldman has this under the subject line, damage to society. And this is not something that we often contemplate. When we speak about Shemir Salashon, we tend to think about the impact it has. Like the Gemara says, it kills three people. The speaker, the listener, the subject. But Rabbi Feldman brings another impact here. The negativity is emblematic of a harm that Lashon Hara inflicts that goes beyond the speaker and the subject. So we tend to think of it on a personal level. In the Talmud statement, the Gemara says, the third victim of Lashon Hara, which we just quoted, is the receiver, okay? The listener, we call it the listener. By accepting the report, he participates in the transgression. So when you're the listener and you say, Rivka really does look a certain way, then you're implicit in the sin as well. However, what happens here, says Rabbi Feldman, it's not only between two people. More broadly, it must be noted, society as a whole is hurt by the spread of gossip. And this is not something that we tend to contemplate when we speak about Lashon Hara. In many ways, why? There is a negative bias that seeps into the communal attitude. When he talks about the community, and it's very powerful to think about it. Think about the communities that we live in. When there is a negative attitude, this seeps into the community as a whole. Sometimes you could hear people talking about their children's schools. in a very negative fashion, davka in front of the children, in front of other people at the Shabbos table, going on and on, that seeps into society as a whole. The major identified harm that is imposed upon society, what is the major harm, societal harm? The divisiveness, the division that is provoked by malicious gossip. Earlier it was noted that lashon hara can be seen as disparaging an individual. Rechilas is understood as conflict between parties. Both offenses converge into communal division. So whether it's lashon hara, which is disparaging an individual, or rechilas, which causes conflict, you know what A said about you, you go tell C, so C says what did A say, so now A and C are in a fight. Why? Because who? B went and said, you wouldn't believe it. Both offenses converge, they come together into communal division. Why? Members of society are alienated from one another, whether because of unwarranted distrust, or antipathy towards the subject of the gossip, or offense taken, as well as subsequent retaliations. And the Talmud, the Gemara, says this is the primary consequence of lashon hara. And then it gives an example we've spoken about before. Someone who has tzara'as is separated from all three camps, machane shechina, machane levia, machane yisrael, and he has to sit all alone, badad yeshev. We're in Sefer Vayikra. This week's parasha, Sefer Vayikra. Vayikra, Tzav Shmini, Tazria, Metzora. Okay, this week we're coming up to, wow, Sefer Vayikra, Baruch Shachan, V'kiman, V'yan, as Manasseh, so we'll be talking about the Metzora. Badad Yeshev, Michutz, L'machana, Mashava. So he goes through that. Because, says Rashi, he caused division between parties, i.e. between the community. He's divided not only from individuals, think about it, he's divided from the community. So there's a communal consequence that we tend not to think about as well. He quotes Ramban, this is very interesting, the Ramban Nachmanides suggests there's a dinner, listen to this, this is frightening. When we look at the matzav of today, in the political situation, which I don't want to know what your political thoughts are, but when we look at the political situation today, which is dividing Knesset Yisrael, and certainly having terrible impact upon the people of Eretz Yisrael, Ramban says there is an additional prohibition of lashon hara during wartime. Now, whether we're in war now or not, I don't mean that, but certainly we're in a time when Jews are not in the most stable place in the world. Eretz Yisrael is not seen in the best light in our day and age. Why is there an additional prohibition of lashon hara during wartime? Due to the concern that the resulting infighting will do more damage than the enemy. Why is that so frightening? Because look at all, if you follow the news, look at the JCC. No, that's not what he's saying.
I'm saying, but it's internal. It was an Israeli guy.
That's external. The threats against the JCC are external. He's saying that the internal divide will be even worse than the enemy. And when, if you follow the news in regards to Israel, I read Yeshiva World News and I read Shabbat, mostly to know what's going on in Israel. Hayam, sometimes, unfortunately, there is so much dissent and disunity amongst our people now, this party says. So I'm not saying who's right and who's wrong. I know that there's a Torah path and there's not a Torah path, but how do we disagree with the other party? There is, Rachman al-Tzan, so much infighting that the Ramban says that there's an additional prohibition of lashon hara during wartime because the resulting infighting may be more damaging than the enemy. And that is very frightening and prophetic. God forbid, we know at the time of Bayashini, there was also a lot of infighting, and look what happened.
There was a story in this I just read last night with Rav Tuvia Leib. He was on that plane going to...
Say it again. A story in there you read yesterday.
Rav Tuvia Leib from Brooklyn was going to Eretz Yisrael on a plane.
Beautiful story.
Right. And
let's say it because you brought it up. It's an unbelievable story. Oh, it ties in exactly what we're saying. Beautiful. I did not think about it when I was preparing, and you are correct. Here we go. Very, very nice. It's a perfect illustration of what we're talking about. I always thought it was Lef. It's Leif?
Might be Lef.
Yeah, I didn't know. Ready? Oh, because it has an I? Okay. It's unbelievable. Rav Moshe Tuvia Leif? L-E-I-F-F. I thought it was Rav Moshe Tuvia Leif. Okay. Rav of a good disciple based Binyamin in Brooklyn. The stories about him. It's beautiful what you just said. What we're trying to illustrate is that very often, there are different types of Jews. Not very often. There are always different types of Jews.
From day one.
Always. Correct. There are always different types of Jews. Yes. The question is, when Lashon Hara, Rechilas, Motzi Shema, Chanifa, Sheker, Gaiva, Ka'as, Machlokas lead to not only individual harm and damage, but communal, which will lead to national harm and damage. And that's something what we don't sometimes, that's something that we sometimes do not take into account. That communal damage, that communal Lashon Hara, says Nachmanides Rabban, can even be more dangerous in wartime than outside threat, because it caused such divisiveness between Knesset Yisrael, when we don't know how to treat fellow Jew, how to disagree with fellow Jew, how to speak to fellow Jew. So if halavai, we could all know the appropriate approach, perhaps things will be very different. So this is a story, this is just mentioned, it's not long. The flight from Israel to Israel from JFK takes close to 11 hours. The Moshe Tuvia Leaf, or Laf, likes to sit on aisle seat. It allows him to get up during the flight without disturbing anyone. He was amongst the first to board that evening. A few moments later, so he sits in the aisle seat. Two non-observant women stopped at his row, and they said their seats were those two next to him. He noticed a bit of disdain in their voices. The one in the middle seat was an American named Lisa. The window seat would be occupied by an Israeli Ronit. Rabbi Laf helped place their bags in the overhead bin. They sat down, preparing for the long trip ahead. Sometimes you can't sleep, you want to talk to the person next to you, which is certainly true. He felt they would not be happy sitting next to a rabbi the whole night. After a few minutes, he says, "Good evening," with a smile. "I don't know if you realize this, but I'm sitting in a very special seat," he said to these two women. "It's called the excuse me seat," he continued. "It's a long flight. During the night, you may want to go into the aisle. Don't worry, just say, excuse me. Even if I'm sleeping, I'll be happy to accommodate you. I'm a light sleeper. I'll fall back asleep right away. My seat is a responsibility," he said. Who says this when they sit in the aisle? So whenever you have to get out.
The aisle, I have to learn from this.
So, and that's why we're learning, because that's Bina. We have to take what we learn, Chachma, and apply it, Bina.
Always.
So whenever you have to get out, just say the word, "I'll be happy to get up." Throughout the flight, the American woke him up once. Lisa, the Israeli Ronit, woke him three times. The plane landed. Rabbi Laf went to rent a car. The rental car facility is adjacent to the airport. He was standing, waiting in line, and there is Ronit with her tall, husky son, an Israeli paratrooper, got out of the car. And Ronit said to her son, this Israeli paratrooper, "Zeharav, this is the rabbi," said the lady. She then exclaimed emphatically, "Im hayu kol harabanim, u kol hayuhudim, kimo oto harav, ein lanu ba'ayot b'Yisrael." How you call her Rabbani, Makal Yehudim, if all the rabbis and all the Jews were like this rabbi, there would be no problems in Israel. She introduced her son to the rabbi and thanked him for his kindness. When he smiles and tells the story, Rabbi Lev says, it's so easy to be nice and be Mekadeh Shem Shemayim. Rabbi Kohn says, if only everyone would see it that way. So certainly, what the Ramban teaches about there's an extra prohibition of Lashon Hara during wartime, what's he telling you? Know who your enemy is. Everyone take a step back. Who are we fighting against? Are we fighting against our fellow Jews and causing communal division with abuse of speech? Or are we fighting against an outside enemy of Malik? So I want to add one Pesach Ha'ara onto this. Oh my gosh, I did not know the time. I want to add one Pesach Ha'ara onto this that I was not planning to say, but since we brought this up, and then you brought that up, and then I read the story, going back to Vehisha Amda. Oh, we started with Vehisha Amda. I'm going to tell you an insight from Eim Habanim Smecha. Say for Eim Habanim Smecha, Rav Teichau. Okay? My father-in-law shared this insight with me. We started with talking about V'hisha Amda L'Avaseinu V'lanu Shalo Echad Belvar Amalei Lecha L'Avaseinu. So listen to those words. V'hisha Amda L'Avaseinu V'lanu. It is this. We already spoke about Shishu Shemeshach, Hamishach, Hamitari, Asar Asdibas, Av, Hashem, Sh'amda L'Avaseinu V'lanu. Period. Shelo echad bilvad amar aleinu l'chalaseinu. We typically say that means not one alone has stood up to destroy us. B'chol dar v'dar, we started with the matzah, is the faces that he sees, this Rav Shaya sees, Zichron Levracha, coming out of that one. Rav Teichel, in his Eim Habanim Smecha, presents a whole different approach, and it relates exactly what we're saying. It relates beautifully to Koach Dibra. Shelo echad, when we are not one. Shelo echad, when we don't have achlis bilvad. This alone, Amar Aleinu L'chalaseinu. Has Einim Abanim Smecha. Shalo Echad. I have children, I say, Bilvar Amar Aleinu L'chalaseinu. You know what is the greatest cause of our distraction? Lo Echad. Our lack of Achdus. And that alone stands up to destroy. So it's a very powerful insight. And Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give up on us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilin mi'adam. He saves us from the hands of disunity. Even though a parent never gives up on seeing their children ba'achdos, even if there's, God forbid, disunity or dissent or fights in family, the parent never stops believing and hoping. I just read an article in one of the papers this week. Someone wrote into the Five Times, a Jewish Times, that two of her children are close to Bela Sibro.
Yes,
letters.
She's a chakra.
Oh, but she's also a therapist, I think. So yes. Two of the children are close. Well, it's like teams, and they can't get them to get along. What could she do? She tried therapy. She tried talking to them, etc. But a parent, mamish, never gives up. So that's the gospel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shalom Achad, even when he sees disunity and dissent. And not all rabbis are like that. Not all people are like that. And Lashon Hara leads to terrible communal faction. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilin mi'adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us from their hands.
I wanted to say something. That achdus. So yesterday I went to Keshi Yehudi dance. There was a whole Okasam involved, Anita Corin and Esther Wien, which is, what is Keshi Yehudi? It's bringing people learning Torah, Jews, Israeli Jews mainly, that are not Shomer Shabbos, and we're getting to learn with them and learn to learn with them. So this Anita decided to make a show. And all these little girls, like my granddaughter, I wanted so badly. My niece was one of the head of the dances, and I wanted so badly for her that she was a little shy, so I brought her to the show, so for next time. But what was the whole thing? It was about achdus, getting different little girls and big girls and women together from all different schools, all different, together, that they're able to be achdus and dancing and singing and having fun. It was just so beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's something that if you see from in the future with Keshi, who this is all about achdus and being with the Jews and all different types of Jews.
So, and so that's what
everyone is trying to do. So Esther Wien and Anita made an amazing program, and it was
so that's what Rav Shlomo Teichel says, that it's lo achad. That is the greatest threat of destruction to our people. Okay, Sefer Chavetz Chaim, preconditions. Okay, so we're finished in the Kunjus Chavetz Hashmir for today. No, we didn't get to for an actual Sefer itself. We did Baruch Hashem, share many relevant and important insights, also beautifully related to Pesach. Preconditions. Okay, any questions? Lisa, no? Okay. The fact that the situation falls under one of the previous listed categories, we have to go back. Okay, I'm going to go back one because, again, we didn't do this for a while. The most common constructive purposes which justify speaking negatively about a person fall under four categories. So this is important because there are times when you're justified in speaking negatively. Oh, I think this is what you were saying, Lisa, because you said especially about kids, and it's true as they get older, even from the young time, to help the person about whom one is speaking. So in other words, you want to discuss a person's faults with someone else to help the person improve. So you ask a close confidant, a rav, a teacher, a mechanic, someone who can help you. So is that Lashon Hara? And the answer is no. If you want to help that person improve, so you have permission to speak about it. I believe that's what you were referring to, no?
Before, yeah.
Okay. To help those who are being adversely affected by the person's behavior. No, I don't know if you recall, but I quoted from Rav Moshe Tversky, and he went to his bachum discussing a certain person who they wanted to associate with, and in six words he put that into conversation. This is not a person we should be associating with, and he wouldn't elaborate. But when the Talmidim heard, the Rav Moshe Tversky, no, didn't give any reasons, but it was clearly some sort of implication that we should not be with this person. So either you want to help the person rise up from their faults, or you want to help them because they're being adversely effective, to put an end to a dispute in which the person is involved and which threatens to divide the community. It's very shaykh that we're going back, okay? And finally, to help others learn from a person's mistakes. That one's very interesting. To help other people learn from a person's mistakes, you're allowed to tell over in certain situations, Ezu chacham halo min mikol adam. So when I ever think of that Mishnah, Perek Avas, Perek Dal, Mishnah Av, it's interesting. What do you mean halo min mikol adam? So I understand that I could learn from tzaddikim and gedolim and people higher than me, but how do you learn from people who are perhaps on a lower madriga? You learn what not to do. So there are four conditions. If you want to help someone improve from their faults, if you want to protect somebody, if you want to put an end to mechlokas, which is threatening to divide the community, and to help others learn from a person's mistake. But the fact that a situation falls under one of those four categories does not necessarily mean discussing it is constructive speech. So it's not a blanket heter. Several conditions must be met. And we first said the four conditions that are permitted. To help somebody, to prevent someone from being harmed, to put an end to mechokas that's dividing the community, and the fourth one that we said is to help learn from a person's mistakes. So just because we have these four heterim, so to speak what would otherwise be lashon hara, it's not a blanket heter. What conditions must be met? The first set of conditions deals with verification of facts. If anyone remembers the text that I read from Avtali Weitz a long time ago, he said you must be sure that the facts are absolutely true. So it's not what you perceive happened or what you heard by hearsay from a third party, and therefore you go talk to someone else. You have to know it happened. It is not forbidden, absolutely forbidden, to make a critical statement about a person on the basis of information obtained through hearsay. That's really what Rav Weitz told me in that text. You have to absolutely be sure that you know the information is correct. Only through first-hand information may one assume a Jew's character or behavior is wanting. So you want to help this person improve in an area of Avodas Hashem, area of physical health, whatever the area is that this person needs improvement. It's not that the neighbor told you. If you don't know, you don't know for yourself. An exception would be where one seeks to protect someone from potential harm. Okay, this will be discussed later. Even if one has witnessed seemingly unacceptable behavior, he must not hastily pass judgment on what has occurred. So even if you see something, an incident taken out of context can be terribly misleading, both as a reflection on an individual's character, so you now have a negative opinion on this individual's character because you weren't down the kafsachos, as well as in determining who is right in dispute between parties. So you see something going on and you don't know all the facts and you haven't verified them. So right away you're jumping to conclusions and it could be even very harmful. Circumstances must be carefully investigated and you must be sure you understand the situation correctly. Above all, before concluding a person has transgressed Jewish law, one must be knowledgeable of the relevant halachos. Having said all this, therefore, now we understand that just because you want to help someone improve, you have to make sure you're in the right position to help someone. Do you know all the facts? Did you hear from someone else? Were you down the kafsachos? And do you know all the halachas? So look what the criteria you have to meet before you pass judgment and go speak about someone else.
Like we always say. Right? Don't say it. Might as well be quiet. Might as well be quiet and just move on.
I quoted you recently. I don't remember where we were learning. I said, if Shandy was here, she would say, you can't talk. Above, we discuss the question, how is it that in our day, those who habitually speak Lashon Hara are not afflicted with tzaras? So this is the hashkafic page that always follows the halachic page. I don't always read the hashkafic page, but I think this one is very powerful. Okay? Another answer, so in other words, that's the question, we don't get tzaras anymore. And tzaras is almost like a tova. When you think about it, it's a punishment, but it's more a consequence that's for your good, because no one wants a shame, and nobody wants a division, and nobody wants to say michutz l'machana, saying, tame, you have to call out about yourself. The time it's very embarrassing. You bring shame upon yourself. So you're going to think very carefully if there's such concrete consequence. But today, Rachman said, we don't have that. So we lose sight of the importance. So an answer is found in Sefer Davar Kedusha, who cites the Sefer Hakana. The suffering of poverty takes the place of tzaras. Why? For by being dependent upon others for survival, the poor man becomes rid of any arrogance, which is a prime cause of lashon hara. Unbelievable. So how does Hashem arrange it? Today we don't have tzaraas. Tzaraas is a tikkun for arrogance. That's why he brings a low shrub and like a worm. Tolas shani, crimson wool, but tolas shani is also a worm. He has to lower himself down. He thought he was so tall, like a cedar, like an arrow. Calm down. Don't be such a bal gaiva. It's to lower yourself. So today, Akash Baruch Hu does something else. He might take away that person's money if they're a habitual lashon hara speaker, and rechilas, motzi shema, etc. Abuse of koach hadirah. He's now dependent on someone else. And what happened to your ergetz? Wow, you don't have it anymore. Moreover, the poor man is actually afraid to speak disparagingly of others, lest they learn of his remarks and cease to assist him. Tikkuni Zohar states, the sin of Lashon Hara can lead to poverty. Therefore, one who seeks to avoid material strain should be zealous in Shmiras HaLashon. So very, very powerful.
There's so many people, I shouldn't say this, but there are a lot of wealthy people. They don't speak Lashon Hara, all those wealthy people.
So we don't understand Hashem's Hasbanos. Right. You know what I was...
Right.
Someone who has...
Careful with Shmiras HaLashon.
What?
There are a lot of poor people who are also very careful with Shmiras
HaLashon. So you're bringing up Tzadik Viralo, Virasha Vitovlo, and there's no answer. Okay? That's the short answer to that question. There is no answer. Before relating negative information to Alas, constructive purpose, you must carefully consider whether the words... It's exactly what you said, Alisa. Elisa, will in fact bring about the desired result. You said, you think to yourself, will it happen, won't it happen? Before you do it, and so it's lit to us. So you determine for a constructive purpose. All the conditions have been met. You know the information. It's not by hearsay. It's not by your third party. You know the halachos. You understand what has been transgressed. You still have to carefully consider whether your words will accomplish the desired result. Speaking negatively litoas, this is so important, is justified only if there's reasonable chance the desired result will be accomplished. This is halacha, that's exactly what you said. So, once you meet all the conditions, you're still not allowed to speak lashon hara, if only if there's a reasonable chance you'll be able to accomplish what you hope to accomplish. Oh, wait. This point is of particular importance when one seeks to discourage a potentially harmful friendship. Listen to this. Business association or shirach. Don't ask me shirach questions. I always say is way beyond the scope of this class. You must consult a rav. However, you have to take into account, before you say lashon hara, that is lito elas, and you met all the criteria, and you asked the shayla if you could say it. However, has the final decision already been made, and was speaking negatively of the other party serve any constructive purpose? And if the answer is there's no chance of reaching a constructive conclusion, when you are still not allowed to say the lashon hara. So with that, ladies, we should be zocha. Ushering in Chodesh Nisan is the month of Nisim. We spoke a lot about Vihisha Amda today. It is our dedication to mitzvahs that it sustains us. Pesach. We must open our mouths to tell the future generation the greatest miracle of our people. Greater than Kriyas Yam Suf, greater than Yetzias Mitzrayim, greater than the Ten Mankos, the greatest miracle is V'Kosh Baruch HaMatzil and Miyadim. Because totally L'malam and Ateva, that we are still here, we must open our mouths to tell the teacher in every generation. It's a dedication to making sure the matzahs are perfect as a tikkun for Rahman al-Atzlan, all those Jews who were murdered, Al-Kiddush Hashem, that sustains us. But ultimately, Shalom Echad, says Rav Shlomo Teichal, if we're not together, it's the greatest source of destruction, says the Ramban. And nevertheless, the Kosh Baruch Hu never gives up. And Ashu Bizocha, to have Chachma, Ashu Bizocha to learn, to have Bina, to have the intuition to apply what we learned in the Chavetz Chaim, use that word 4 times in 2 paragraphs, and finally, Da'as, a measure of Ruach HaKodesh, and Arde Siyata Deshmaya, Lilmod Ulalamid, Lishmar Velasos. I thank you all for coming. I know it's Erev Yom Tov and we're hectic. It's so important to be mechazik ourselves, not only in Gashmis, but in Ruchnias. I wish you all Berkas Chag Kasher V'Sameh for us and all of Chal Yisrael. Amen V'Amen.
It's not going to answer your question like that, and I know good things happen.